the 11th. And we read in the 11th chapter from verse 1. John 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And then in chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing hath she kept it. For the poor always ye have with you, but me have not always. There are three things that describe the life of the believer. Worship, fellowship, and service. In the opening verses of Hebrews chapter 11, you read that by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. In Abel we see the worship of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Enoch was translated, we read, that he should not see death. And before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And twice over, in Genesis chapter 5, we read these words, Enoch walked with God. And in him we see the fellowship of faith. He didn't simply walk, but he walked with God. We read that by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, prepared an ark to the saving of his family, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And in him we see service, the work of faith. When God told him he was going to destroy this world and told him to build an ark, he got busy. In this chapter we read concerning these three, Lazarus and Mary and Martha, we read they made him a supper. Martha served. Lazarus was one of them, not the only one. Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And then we see fellowship. He sat at the table with him. He was a resurrected man. He was a man whom the Lord Jesus had raised from the dead. And every believer in our Lord Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead by him. We were once dead in trespasses and sins, but we've been made alive together with Christ, quickened with him by life divine, raised with him from the dead. And we have been raised up together, the scripture says, and made to sit together. Lazarus sat with him and made to sit together in the heavenly, in Christ. Mary was a worshiper. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, nard, very costly. First we see the service of faith. Then we see the sitting of faith. And then we see the sacrifice of faith. Very reason, shall I bring to the Lord of that which cost me nothing? And we see in this story that she remembered his death against the day of my burying, as she kept it. She remembered his death. At this time of year, we remember particularly his birth, but nowhere in Scripture are we told to remember his birth. But we are told by himself, on the very night he was duly prayed, he said, this do, in remembrance of me. And she is remembered because she remembered his death. Three gospel writers mention Mary's gift of alabaster, box of ointment, spikenard, very precious. But only John mentions who it was. Matthew mentions the incident. Mark mentions the incident. But John is the only one that mentions who did it. He mentions her by name twice in connection with it. It was that Mary. It was that Mary which anointed the feet of Jesus. And here in our chapter, he tells us, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. Three times Mary is mentioned as being at the feet of Christ. Good place to be. It says, first of all, she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Secondly, it says, she fell down at his feet to say, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. She sat at his feet to get life. She fell at his feet to get life. And here she's anointed at his feet in appreciation of his great love. The love will be loved. I want to think a little bit about Mary's gift. First of all, it was a suited gift. It was right. It was proper that God manifest in flesh, the Lord of glory, should be honored. Judas said, why was this waste of the ointment made? It might have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. But he didn't recognize that the one who was rich for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Rich in glory thou didst sit. Bent is all thy people's hope. Thou art poor, that we might be rich in glory, Lord, with thee. Judas said it was a waste. But the Lord Jesus said, she has done what she could. He said, she has wrought a good work on me. He said, wheresoever this gospel is preached, this also, that this woman has done, will be told for memorial of her. And everyone in this room has heard this story over and over and over again. Wheresoever this gospel has been preached, this, that this woman has done, has been told for a memorial of her. It was a timely gift. After all, she had sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And it says, she came beforehand to anoint his body for the burial. Just 6 days before the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross, she came beforehand. She had sat at Jesus' feet and she heard his word and she knew that he was going to die. He told us, the disciples, on at least 6 occasions, that he was going to be rejected by the elders and he was going to be killed. And he was going to rise again. Every time he mentioned his death, he mentioned his resurrection. He was going to rise again from the dead. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have power, authority to lay down my life, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And yet, in the 20th chapter of John's Gospel, we read that when Peter and John went to that tomb, it said they didn't know yet the Scripture. He had told them at least 6 different times. But sometimes we only hear what we want to hear. As yet they knew not the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. But Mary knew. She had not only sat at Jesus' feet, but she heard his word. You know, you can sit and not get anything. And the Lord Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. It's not enough to have ears, you have to pay attention. Mary Magdalene and the other women came. They had a good intention. They came early. They were going to anoint his body. But they came too late. Mary sees the opportunity just 6 days before the Passover. 6 days before the Lord Jesus is going to meet with his disciples, he said, with great desire to eat this supper, that Passover supper, with thee before I suffer. But she came beforehand. It was a timely gift. Mary's gift was a costly gift. I understand that this spikenard was brought from the Himalayan mountains, all the way across Afghanistan through some of the roughest terrain in the world. And when it finally got to Israel, it was literally worth its weight in gold. We're not told that Mary was a wealthy woman, but she had bought this expensive perfume. And 1 pound, John says, 1 pound of ointment. And I understand that ointment was so potent that 1 drop of it on human flesh, and you could smell it for a week. A little better than some of the perfume that we see and smell. And she had only one purpose for it. Judas, he made an estimate of the price, what it was worth. He said it could have been sold for 300 cents and given to the poor. Not that he cared for the poor. He kept the treasure and everything that went in while he took a little bit and put in his back pocket. He's a thief. He had the idea that some people still have, that anything spent on me is worthwhile, but that which is given to Christ is a waste. Why was this waste? Of the ointment there. Judas. He said it could have been sold for more than 300 cents. That's what they put this mark. Could have been sold for more than 300 cents. Well, you can think of the fact that in that day, the going wage
not one penny, not a copper coin, but one silver coin, a denarius. That was a going wage for the day. And Mary's gift represented 1 year of work. 310.
She had only one purpose for it.
The Lord Jesus said, against the day of my prayer, she kept this. She didn't put one drop on herself. She didn't put one drop on her sister Martha. Ladies love perfume, and she loved Martha, but she didn't give her a drop of it. And she didn't take any of it and anoint her body, the body of her beloved brother Lazarus, when he died, against the day of my burial. The Lord Jesus said,
she has kept it. She didn't take one drop and put it on herself. This cost the gift. She had purchased it as a tremendous sacrifice and value. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She felt beholding to him because he had raised her beloved brother from the dead. It was not only a costly gift, it was a fruitful gift. You know, the scripture says, the Lord Jesus has said that given it shall be given to you. He said it is more blessed to give than to receive. By giving the whole thing, all that she had to the Lord, everybody present was blessed. There is that which scatters and yet increases. The scripture says the whole house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Every one of those apostles got a blessing of the sacrifice of Mary. The Lord was blessed. How his heart must have been thrilled by this woman who sat and heard his word. One of whom he had said and rebuked to Martha, 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 thou art careful and troubled about many things. But Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Martha and Lazarus were blessed. They were there. They got a whiff of that. The whole world for all time has been blessed. Wheresoever this gospel is preached, this also that this woman has been so as to Jonathan will be a memorial of her. And Mary herself was blessed. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians that a woman's hair is her glory. Women are very careful about their hair. I remember before the days when we had air conditioning in our cars, your wife would say, hey, crank up that window, it's blowing my hair. You ever heard anything like that? Women are very conscious that their hair has to be just so. And they say you can tell when a woman is really sick. I mean, really, really sick. She doesn't pay any attention to her hair, but you go and visit her in the hospital, she wants her hair to be just right. The scripture says it's a woman. Glory. And she took that hair, her glory, and she laid it at the feet of Christ. And she wiped his feet with his hair. And wherever Mary went, that scent was sure to go. They took notice of her that she had been with Jesus. Mary's gift was a sweet smelling gift. A fitting memorial of his death. There's an interesting verse in Ephesians 5 and verse 2. It says, Christ loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Love that no tongue can teach. Love that no thought can teach. No love like this. Love that on death dark daily, sweetest odor spreads. sinner all came to the veil, redemption, glory, death. Mary's memorial, a memorial to him. And it's put in the Word of God as an example, as a challenge, an encouragement to us. It was, as I said, a suited gift. Worship of Christ is not a word. When the Lord Jesus, before he went on to heaven, he wanted us to remember exactly what Mary remembered. Against the day of my burying, she kept her. The Lord took a loaf of bread in his hands. He said, this is my body. It's given to you. Take. Eat it. This do. In remembrance of me. And he took also a cup and he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood that is shed for you. All of you drink of it. And the scripture says, as all as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do show forth the Lord's death we come. Mary was a worshiper. And the Father seeketh worshipers, not only for himself, but for his Son. That all men should honor the Son, even if they honor the Father. Many of our hymns express praise and worship to the Lord Jesus, but oftentimes people do not address him in praise directly. We sing hymns like this, Thy name, we love Lord Jesus, that name, all names above. We sing all these hymns, but oftentimes we only address the Father. I have a friend, he's now with the Lord, Russell Shell. Some of you may know him. He's in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, for many years up at the Pittsburgh home. When he had one daughter and two sons, and when the man that came, his son-in-law, came to him and said, Brother Shell, you know, I'm interested in getting married, and I just wanted to come to you and get your approval. And he said, well, you have my approval to marry my daughter. He said, but there's one thing. He said, I want you to promise me that you'll do. That after you get married, you'll never tell her that you love her. If you feel like you're going to bust, if you don't tell her you love her, just tell me that you love her, and I'll tell her that you love her. Oh, he said, brother, he said, I could never do that. Well, he said, I've noticed over the years, I've never heard you once express your love for the Lord Jesus. You're always telling the Father to tell the Son how much you love him. By name, we love Lord Jesus. It's a wonderful thing to tell the Son. The Father seeketh worshippers, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. But the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 23 that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. There's only one proper thing to do in the light of that gift is to say thanks to the Father and praise to the Son. It was a timely gift that came beforehand to anoint the body to the burial. It was a costly gift. No other purpose intended for it. She didn't pour it out. She just breaks that alabaster box of ointment. She had no other use for it whatsoever. It was a fruitful gift, as I said, by giving all that she had. The whole house was filled with the odor of the ointment. The Lord was blessed and honored. Martha and her brother Lazarus, they were blessed. And Mary was blessed. She carried the odor of the ointment with her. And the whole world, to all time and eternity, has been blessed because it's written in the Word of God. And wheresoever this gospel is preached, told, for memorial, birth.
What does Christ's gift mean to me? Well, Paul says, in thanksgiving, the Son of God loved me, gave himself for me. And I can say, was it for me alone? The Savior left his glorious throne, the dazzling splendor of the sky. Was it for me he came to die? It was for me. Yes, all for me. Oh, love of God, so great, so free. Oh, wondrous love, I'll shout and sing. He died for me, my Lord and King. One of our great hymn writers was a woman named Frances Ridley Havergal. She died at the age of 43. She could speak fluently in 5 different languages. She could read the Hebrew, the original of the scripture, and the Greek with equal ease. An extremely intelligent woman. She wrote many hymns of praise for the Lord. At one time she was in Germany. And she saw a painting depicting Christ on the cross. And as she looked at that painting, the tears began to roll down her cheeks. And there was a sign that said something to this effect. All this I did for you. What have you done for me? It was a German, but she could read German. She reached into her purse and got a little piece of paper. She started writing some lines of poetry on it. And after she examined it, she didn't think too much of it, and she took it and balled it up and threw it in the direction of the fireplace. And a sort of breeze from the hearth blew it away, and it was just charred on the edges. She put it back in her purse and she carried it home and she showed it to her dad, who was a preacher, and asked him what he thought of it. And he said he thought it ought to be kept. And she had written, as she looked at that scene depicting Christ on the cross, I gave my life for thee. My precious blood I shed, that thou mightest ransom thee and quicken from the dead. I gave my life. I gave my life. This is my body given for you. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? Alas, and did my Savior bleed? Did my Sovereign die? Did he devote that sacred head to such a worm as I? Was it for crime that I have done? He groaned upon the tree, amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in when the incarnate maker died for man, his creature sin. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself away. It's all that I can do. May each of us, like Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word, come with what we have of our life yet left and present it unto him, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's our reasonable service, shall we pray. Our Father, we're thankful indeed for thy holy word. We're thankful for this beautiful story of the devotion of Mary of Bethany through all time and eternity, that which he has done. We told for memorial of her. Because she remembered the death of the Savior, we will never be able to forget her. And we pray that we too, in like fashion, will present what we have of our time, our talents, and our treasure at the feet of the Lord Jesus.
and say, as we sometimes sing, Jesus, thou alone art worthy ceaseless praises to receive, for thy love and grace and goodness rise for all our thoughts and see. With adoring heart we render honor to thy precious name, overflowing with thy mercies far and wide, thy worth proclaim. Bless thy word to us, we pray, and through us this day, this last day of another year. May the savor of this sacrificial gift that Mary so speak to our hearts, that our lives will be changed for thy glory in the year that lies ahead. For we ask it with thanksgiving in thy own precious and worthy name, Lord Jesus.